Thank you, Glenn. Well, you know, you're really good at warming up the crowd, so you have so much enthusiasm. I love to listen to you, so thank you. And I look forward to seeing you again. Maybe you'll be in Las Vegas. Is that true? Maybe that's when I'll see you. Except sometimes you don't run into people in at those big conferences. So, yeah. So hello, everyone, and welcome to NTI. This is the NTI discussion group that's happening now. And in the NTI discussion group, it's a little different than the audios maybe that some of you have listened to on the Regina Donacre's website. In those audios, I really teach NTI. And although I certainly am going to share, I'm not here to teach NTI. I'm here to be involved with you in discussing and looking at NTI, as well as anything else that comes up. You know, it occurred to me last week after we finished that we read a section where the Holy Spirit was really talking about getting to a point where there are no more grievances. And I thought, you know, that would have been a good place if somebody wanted to pause and talk about, you know, if somebody had a grievance and how to let a grievance go. You know, it's wonderful to read in NTI that we can get to the point where we have no grievances. I don't recall having a grievance now in at least a couple of years, so I know that that's absolutely possible. But I also know that most people don't experience that. And so, you know, we can even just, you know, stop and discuss something like that that's fitting in line with what we're reading. I'm really here to interact with people. You know, I live alone. I don't mind that. I actually enjoy spending time in meditation, contemplation. You know, I don't mind being alone. But people tell me, they do, they tell me they want to interact with me more, you know, and there aren't many of those opportunities. I don't do one-on-one counseling. This is one of those opportunities. This and, of course, also the Sufi group. The Sufi group, I think, is also a lot of fun and very interactive. But this, you know, this is my, if you forgive the term, area of expertise. This is my area of expertise, NTI. Remember, not only was I the scribe of NTI, but I've lived it and I've healed through it. And someday I'll be dead. You know, I just heard Glenn talking about Helen, and I don't remember exactly. Oh, Grace. He was talking about Helen and Grace, and he said she never used the word grace, and he may have said something like, I'm not exactly sure why. Well, you know, we can't ask Helen questions about A Course in Miracles. We can ask within, and we can ask one another, and we can make assumptions. But we can't ask Helen. She's gone. Regina Donacre, at least in this moment, is still here. So, and again, this is my area of expertise. The Sufi stuff, I'm the student along with you, right? I mean, I'm contemplating and all of that right there along with you. But here, maybe there are some things that, maybe here I'm a little bit ahead of you with NTI. So I say, take advantage of me. Use me, right? And let's interact. So tonight in NTI, we are starting on page 14 with verses 25 to 26. It's one paragraph. And the way we've been doing this is seeking volunteers to read. And then after you read, before you let go of the mic, if there's something you want to share, you may. And if not, that's okay. You can just read and let go of the mic. Is there someone who would like to get us started tonight by reading verses 25 to 26? Hey, Francine. Okay, well, Francine gets to interact with me all the time because she lives 5 minutes away, but we'll let her get us started. Francine, the mic is yours.
Okay. The one that judges the hatred you leave in your heart is but yourself. You cannot find joy within hatred, for hatred is like a prison, and the jailer is but yourself. Free yourself from your prison of pity. Let go of that which you think your brother has done to you. It is not important. It but keeps you in prison within a limited mind, away from the unlimited, which is but yourself. Let go of all your grievances against your brother, no matter how large or small they seem, for they are all the same, and each one has the power to keep you in prison from yourself. My only comment on that is that I still, I keep myself in prison with the I am bad thought. I'm working on it, and, you know, I do make some progress on that. But then I take it away. So anyway, I just have to keep plugging at it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Francine. It always amazes me how such sweet, sweet people, you know, like you and many others can have that belief, that I am bad belief, that unworthiness belief, so alive in the mind. And yet I understand because I had it too. And I remember when it seemed like it was too real to even let go of. It was like a fact. So keep working at it. I've watched you. You do great work. And someday it won't be there anymore. And you'll be amazed that you ever believed it. So this paragraph that Francine just talked about, let go of that which you think your brother has done to you. It is not important. It is not important. Does anybody have anything they would like to share about that? Is there anything that anyone has done to you that you think is important? I'll share about my last grievance. My last living grievance. How's that? It was kind of funny because when I was driving to Pueblo to move here, I don't remember if Dove called me or if Dove emailed me, but he contacted me during the trip. I was literally driving here, and he told me that he had just accidentally discovered a place in Pueblo called the Center for Inner Peace. He was actually looking up another place out in California called a Center for Inner Peace, but he only typed in Center for Inner Peace, and this place in Pueblo came up. And of course, he knew I was driving to Pueblo, so he called me and, you know, said, "Oh, you got to go there." So as soon as I got settled, and I don't remember, he might have told me that there was a course group there, or maybe I looked it up and I discovered it, but in some way, I found out there was a course group there, so I went to the course group. And I was immediately met by the coldest shoulder I think I remember ever feeling in my entire life. And it wasn't a cold shoulder from one person. It was a cold shoulder from the entire group. They didn't want me there at all. But I trusted Dove. And if Dove felt that I should go there, I was going to go. So I continued to go. And during this time, I had many friends coming and staying in my house. And whenever I would go, I would take my friends. Also, Lynn at some point started coming. I don't remember if there was anybody. Oh, Donna, who lives here, started coming. People who were associated with me started coming to the group. And this original course group, they really just did not like it. And their group started breaking up. It started falling apart. They quit coming as more and more of us came. They quit. And in fact, eventually they started a they started a closed group in someone's home. And we weren't invited. And the funny thing is, well, you know what, Igor, I think this is what's funny about it is I just wanted to come. But for some reason, immediately I think there was a perception that I wanted to take over the leadership of the group. And I didn't. I had no interest in it. And in fact, when the original group members quit coming, we only went a little longer, and then we actually just disbanded the whole thing. You know, I had no interest in leading a course group. But it's hard to tell the story because my memory doesn't remember all the bridges from one part to the other part anymore. So like I see these gaps and it's hard to turn it into a story. But somehow, you know, whatever talk was happening among this group, and I don't really know for sure what talk was happening among this group. I remember one person wrote me a really long letter once. Telling me that I wasn't welcome there. I don't remember all the details, but I remember I was really surprised to get like a four-page letter from a course group telling me I wasn't welcome there. But somehow the talk that happened among that group got to the minister of the church. And the minister of the church began to have conversations with me as if I had started going to the church in order to take over the church. Which I was really surprised because the only thing I ever wanted to do at this church, if anything, was make friends and maybe bring more friends because the church was very small. Sometimes on Sunday mornings they would only have like six people there and they were hurting for money. And I thought if I could, you know, bring more friends, at that time I had friends moving to Pueblo, get more friends to go, you know, it would really help keep this little church alive. And it's what, you know, it was a church that was originally founded based on A Course in Miracles. Now it's considered an interfaith church. But, you know, I never had any ideas of taking over the church. at some point, I don't remember how it came about, but they needed board members, really. They needed board members. And so I volunteered for the board. And I was doing everything I could to serve. Nobody wanted to be secretary, so I was secretary. Nobody wanted to do, you know, other things, and so I would do other things. You know, I would just do anything nobody else would do. And I was doing everything I could to help to serve. And everything that I did to help and to serve, I ended up getting talked to because, again, I was trying to take over. And I never was. And this really started spinning in my mind. This was my last grievance. It really started spinning in my mind how I could be so misunderstood, how my intentions could be so misunderstood. Again, all I wanted to do was be friends, and all I wanted to do was serve. I didn't want anything from them. I just wanted to give. And it was all misunderstood. This grievance would spin in my mind because I was actually heavily involved in this church at that time. So there was lots of interaction happening, and all of the interaction was a struggle. And so this grievance would spin in my mind frequently. And I don't know how long this lasted. The heavy spinning, probably 6 months. And the way that I let go of this grievance was simply by realizing that I was done feeling that way. That I was done feeling that upset that you feel when there's something spinning in your head like that. It won't go away. You're constantly thinking about this person and constantly thinking about the thing they said or the thing they might say and constantly walking on eggshells. And, you know, and I just thought, I just don't want to do this anymore. I just don't want to do this anymore. And so this paragraph really reminds me of it, because this paragraph talks about how when we have grievances, we keep ourselves in prison. And this paragraph says also that you need to let go of that which you think your brother has done to you. It is not important. And that's where I got to, is that it's not important. It's not important if they misunderstand my intentions. The only thing that's important is that I follow my guidance. And right now, and at this time I did, I feel to serve this little church. And so I will serve this little church until I don't feel to do that anymore. And I continued to serve the church, and I just did whatever I was called to do without any concern over whether it was appreciated or whether I was welcome or anything. And I served all the way up until a couple of years ago. My boyfriend moved here, and he started wanting me to spend weekends with him. And, of course, serving the church, I was always at the Center for Inner Peace on weekends, especially Sundays. You know, I would go to the service in the morning, and then I would serve, to go to meetings and stuff on Sunday afternoon. So I was always gone on Sundays, and he wanted me to give that up. And so at that point, I gave it up. But I didn't ever give it up out of the grievance. The grievance was long gone before I gave it up. And again, I gave up the grievance because I was hurting myself. You know, I was called to serve, and I can serve. You know, it's kind of like the St. Francis prayer, right? I can't quote it. Maybe some of you can. But, you know, it's all about being the love rather than seeking the love, understanding rather than seeking to be understood, all of that. So I just let the whole thing go. I just let it go. I just decided I didn't want that anymore. And since I made that decision, I haven't held a grievance against anyone for anything. And all kinds of funny things happen all the time. But that's how I perceive them now, as funny things. You know, they're just funny how people sometimes think. But nothing offends me. I have no grievances. And so I'm at peace. Igor, thank you for being patient while I told that story. The mic is yours.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? Check, check. Check, check. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Regina. Hello, everyone. Awesome story, Regina. Wow. I'm impressed. Thank you for your honesty in the first, for sharing this, because this is genuine forgiveness in practice. This is not actually discussed very often. It is when we honestly share our forgiveness opportunities and discuss how we apply genuine forgiveness to it. And what I saw in your story, in your situation, Regina, I would guess this would be a repeating situation. At least it could be. For me, for sure, if I talk about my biggest forgiveness opportunity, it's being repeated all over unexpected places. But what I saw in your story, Regina, is that again, we don't really have relationships with anyone, right? There is no one else, right? There is nothing outside you. That is what you must ultimately learn, Jesus says. And so the only relationship that really matters, this metaphor the Holy Spirit gave me is a chess board, like grandmasters, when they, good players, masters, and when they calculate, they remove the pieces of the board to evaluate the end game, the result. And Holy Spirit gave me this metaphor to remove the pieces of the board, remove the bodies, don't look at the bodies at all. Just don't look at the bodies and look at the only relationship that matters is our relationship with God. So what I saw in your sharing, Regina, is that you say to God that you had to become leader for yourself. You had to become the main one, right? The special, the God, the King, by yourself. Why? Well, because it just happened. You didn't meant to. It maybe somehow happened, and now God is holding a grievance on you for that, and you are suffering from that, of course, because it's uncomfortable. And so this is our insane projections, because for example, I'm gonna share my biggest forgiveness opportunity. I don't know how would you like this perspective or not, Regina, but I have already seen this pattern, that we shouldn't look at bodies at all. We project them, right? All of these relationships, we project them by ourselves as a projection of how our ego perceives our relationships with God. For example, my situation is that I am being deprived by authority, okay? That anyone who is in charge, who is the authority, is a bad person, is unjustful person, is just mad, stupid, and he makes the decisions that hurt me. See, and they deprive me, and so it repeats since my father to my teachers, to my bosses, to even spiritual teachers, to my president, to my government, yeah, like my and you see, I have a full justification to hate my president, to hate my government, to hate my bosses. I'm not mad. I have full justification. Just look at what they do. But the fact is that I am projecting all this. So to have the reason to hate them. And so the very recent story this Monday when I had the show on this radio, this happened again right here on the radio. So it was a nightly contemplation, and at 10:30 is my time. And Lynn picked up the microphone and started sharing something about what happened in the contemplation, nightly contemplation. And she's sharing and sharing, she's talking, and it's like 5 minutes went, like 10 minutes went, you know? And I'm like, okay, again, someone who has the authority, moderator, Ling, steals my time on air, okay? So I started hating her a lot. And again, I have full justification to hate her, because not only she steals my time on air, I'm here like 1 hour per week. It's not so much time for me, so you know, it's a tight time. So, but before that, a few weeks ago, Larry was on air, and he finished his hour, and no one was scheduled after him. So he was in the night already. And he asked Lin to talk something more, a little more, but she said to him, no one is special here. We have the schedule, so please thank you for your understanding, and humble and stuff like that. And okay, Larry went on. But when Lin, so no special, no one is special here, right? But when Lin took 10 minutes of my time on air, she said, oh, look at how much hours we have. Just take any hour and, we have a lot of time here, right? And this caused a problem for me, you see. So I have full justification to hate Lin, because she's an authority, and she, when it's beneficial for her, she says, no one's special here. And when it's beneficial for her, she says, oh, there's so much time, I can talk for 10 minutes and steal your time, and you can take any other hour, yeah? But I caught myself very quickly, and I told myself, yeah, this is again this repeating pattern, because it's not about Lin, it's not about time, it's not about the radio, it's again, someone who's in authority is unjustful to me, deprives me of something, and makes, corrupted, unjustful decisions, you see? So, and again, who removed the pieces of the board? So no presidents, we're not talking about the president's bosses, Lin, my father, or anyone. Only God. And so my ego, this is my ego's insane projection of my relationships with God, that God was so stupid, so unjustful, that he kicked away me from heaven. It's not me who decided to separate and went away, yeah, because God declined my request for special love, yeah. Of course, miracles explains again. No, it was God who was so bad, unjustful, and stupid that he kicked me out of heaven and doesn't allow me to go home. Yeah. So, and this again, I can share, very few actually students of Course in Miracles are willing to share such stories, such honest forgiveness opportunities, but some of them do, and I have some stories, and I can share them, but I think I talked too much. And please tell me, Regina, what you think about such view on all this. Thank you. I drop the mic.
Well, of course, Igor, one thing that I think about you is that I think you are very sincere, and I recognize that sincerity in you. One who is sincere can recognize another who is sincere, and I value that about you, and I think it's wonderful. Of course, things are going to continue to upset you until you are done. That's what happened, and I've told the story of when I became done, but that, of course, wasn't the only grievance I ever held. There were many, many, many before that. And the people that have been hanging around this sanctuary for a long time, since before it was a sanctuary, have heard every one of my forgiveness stories, because I've been teaching here since 2005, and every single thing I've gone through, I've shared here. So everybody knows all of the stories, except for maybe that last one, which I just told, the one where I became done. And the only way that you really know that you're done is that you never take on a grievance again. Like Igor, I think you were in the room a couple weeks ago when our friend Teddy, during A Course in Miracles, he got upset. And he was sharing lots of thoughts. And one of the thoughts I heard him say, I was listening to the audio, one of the thoughts I heard him say, I don't know who he was talking to, maybe Len, talking to somebody about sucking Regina's ass. And my response to that was, I laugh. I just think it's so funny. There's nothing in me. There's nothing in me that can hold a grievance, because I'm done. Somebody once told me Ken Wapnick said the same thing once, that he said he didn't have the energy anymore to hate. And I think that's what happens. At some point, we just don't have the energy. We don't want to carry it around. I remember much, much, much earlier on the path when I seemed to have these grievances. And like you said, a full justification, right? And I had these grievances with full justification. I was so justified in my own mind. And I would read things, or maybe even they came through me. They're probably even NTI. I probably wasn't reading them. I was probably writing them about put down your burdens. And, you know, my thought was kind of like, how the heck can you just put these down? You know, he did this and this and she did this and this. And you know, you can't just put that down, but you can when you're ready. You can. And then you have, just like when I, in this last grievance, what I decided to do was just to serve as long as I was called to serve and not be concerned about, you know, whether it was appreciated or whether I was unwelcome. I was just going to follow guidance and only be concerned about that. At some point, you also just want to love and not be concerned about whether people love you back or whether they even notice that you love them. And you know who really gets the benefit of loving everyone? You. Because you feel that love. And so if you're willing to love and not be loved back, if you're willing to serve without being noticed, you can be the happiest person in the world. Hank, the mic is yours.
Can you hear me? I had some trouble with being heard. I'm going to check my microphone here real quick. Can you hear me all right? I'm not seeing any indication that I'm being heard, so I'm going to turn it up. Okay, all right. Turned it up. Yeah, I just got in here kind of late. I thought this was the NTI study group. It sounds like a Bill O'Reilly talk show. Not really. But anyway, it's kind of interesting because I've been thinking lately how great it would be to have some kind of I don't want to say a talk show, but some one of our programs where people could come and if they're willing enough to share things like this, because we learn so much from the experiences of others when they tell their story. It's like in AA meetings, it's the same thing. People get up and tell their stories and other people learn from it. So thank you, Igor, for being willing to step out like that. You have my, I'm right there with you on. I've noticed that I haven't been coming to these, into the sanctuary for very long. I just started maybe 2 or 3 months ago. But I've noticed that there isn't a whole lot of, participation by the people that are listening. And I wondered about that. Because my idea on it was that I wanted to be involved and to involve the people who are listening, because we learn so much from each other, and it is frustrating. And I understand why there's a reluctance to do that, because when someone does it, you put yourself in a vulnerable position. And it can get real nasty, even with spiritually minded people. So, I just wanted to say one more thing on that, and that is I would hope that everyone who hears this would wonder or think a little bit about being more involved in the teachings that are going on, and more willing to step out there and and share and just be willing to take a risk that way. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Hank. And yes, this is the NTI discussion group. And so since you were just a short moment late, I'll tell you what we're discussing. We're discussing page 14, paragraph 25 to 26, which is about how when you hold a grievance, you keep yourself in prison. So that's what we're discussing. Lynn, I saw your hand. I don't want to miss you. Igor has a question for me. Is that all you wanted to say, Lynn? Because I do want to give you the mic if you have something to share on this topic of, And one thing I do want to do also, I will tell you all, I'm a trained facilitator. And so one thing I will do as the trained facilitator, I both want interaction and I want to stay on point. So if the conversation starts to wander away from where we are, I will stop it and bring it back because that's what a trained facilitator does. So we want interaction and we want to stay on point. And so what we're talking about now is letting go of grievances, because by holding on to grievances, you keep yourself in prison. That's what we're talking about. But anything that fits with that can be shared. Igor has asked, do you think this view of removing the bodies and recognize that this pattern represents the ego's projection of our relationship with God is legit? Yes. I practiced this removing the bodies, as you say. I didn't practice this last part too much, maybe in the beginning when I was a course student, but if you'll pardon the way this sounds, because I don't mean it in the way it sounds, but I went beyond the course. And what I mean really when I say that is the course language. I went beyond the course language. I went beyond the course philosophy. And the reason for that is because I started listening within. And so instead of being a course student, I became a student of within. And my withinness taught me to remove the bodies. It did not teach me to see it as a projection of my relationship with God. It did teach me to remove the bodies. And it taught me to look for only two things, ego or spirit. And whenever it's spirit, listen to it. And whenever it's ego, just let it go. And that doesn't matter whether it's ego in me or ego in someone else. Just let it go. It's unimportant. So a moment ago, I gave an example of something that Teddy said a couple of weeks ago. And even though he said a couple of weeks ago, just to let you guys know, I was only listening to the audio yesterday and today. So I just heard it. And that's unimportant to me, because ego is unimportant. If I was to, for some reason, get annoyed, I think Pope Francis has gotten annoyed, it looks like, once or twice this week. We don't usually see that from him. But anybody can get annoyed. Anybody who falls asleep for a moment and believes an ego thought can get annoyed. So let's say I fell asleep for a moment and I believed an ego thought and I got annoyed. The moment that I see I'm annoyed, I let it go because it's not important. You see, the ego is not important. It can be released. Whether I see the ego in what appears to be another body or an ego in what appears to be this body, it's the ego and it's not important. And spirit is always to be embraced, no matter what body spirit seems to be coming from. And no body is to be made special because of spirit. Just spirit is to always be embraced. So removing the bodies is most definitely something that I've practiced. And in fact, I remember talking about this very, very recently, but I teach so many classes, I don't remember when I spoke about it. I spoke about it this week, about removing the, I think it was last night in the Sufi group, about removing the bodies. Oh, no, it was yesterday in the Guiding Light. Yesterday in the guiding light, I talked about removing the bodies. Yeah, that's when it was. So very recently, I even talked about that. So does anybody else have anything they want to share on verses 25 to 26 about letting go of grievances so that we can free ourselves from prison? Hank, the mic is yours.
Yeah, I did have one more thing to add, particularly on that topic of letting grievances go. I told this story in our MPP class, Regina and Fran, but I think it happened with other people, and so I think I've had a situation that comes up a lot for me, and I realized at this stage in what I'm doing that I'm bringing all this stuff to myself, and it was through that realization that I was finally able to move on from that, at least that one particular kind of incident, and it happened. It's been a year or two ago that I was at a friend's house. I'd invited myself over to his house to play music with him. And he had bought a brand new Martin guitar, and he took it out of the case and showed it to me, and I played a couple of tunes on it, and then I put it back in the case, and as I was walking away, I turned around and looked at it, and it was a very expensive guitar. He had just bought it, and he's real proud of it. And I turned around and looked at it, and for some reason, the light it was in or the angle I was looking at it, it looked like a different model of guitar, and I said, gee, that's not a triple op guitar. And then I went back over and stood over it and looked down at it in the case, and I could see that it was. And I says, oh yeah, it is. And I turned around, and my friend was just livid. I mean, his face was purple. He was just furious. He said, I just spent hours researching this thing. Oh, that's a triple op guitar. And I said, yeah, I do too. I'm sorry. But he hasn't spoken to me since. He was really offended. And I don't want to make the story longer than it has to be to keep myself distant from that, because the same kind of situation had come up with me over and over and over again. And in the past, I would always be offended myself because I hadn't done anything wrong and it was them that was wrong. And I would play out these scenes, you know, forever justifying myself and explaining to this person how wrong they were and all this. And this time I was just able to, you know, to stand. And I can't say I'm over it completely, because I still, even to this day, I want to explain to him why he was wrong and that I meant him no harm.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the point at all. The point was that I brought that to myself to learn, and I had to keep bringing it to myself all of these years, that same kind of situation, until I finally did learn it. And I have learned it. It doesn't mean it still doesn't come up, but my reaction to it is certainly different. So I'll let the mic go.
Thank you very much, Hank, for sharing your story. Why don't we go on to verses 27 to 28? Is there someone here who would like to read verses 27 to 28 on page 14 of NTI? All right, thank you very much, Nancy. The mic is yours.
Oh, thank you, Regina. So this says, the law of men is but a symbol for those who are not ready to accept the law of the heart for the law of the heart is love. One who loves his brother will not think a hurtful thought about his brother. When hurtful thoughts come into his mind, he will let them go, for he does not want any thought in his mind that is not the thought of love. In this way, his mind shall live in accordance with the law of the heart, and the prison doors shall be opened, and he shall be freed, joined in dancing in celebration with his brother. Well, I would just like to say that how beautiful this hour has been, and I agree that it is so helpful to hear about people's processes, and it is something, Regina, that I've noticed in you for many years. In fact, I would think that to myself, that this woman is sharing her entire process live and online, and you know, in these talks, and I, for one, have found them always very, very helpful. And I'm at a point now where I can, or I am seeing this, and for so many years felt the same, that I can't let this go. You know, it's so obviously wrong, or whatever my thoughts about it were. Either I was injured, or it was so unfair, or anybody would agree with me. You know, I can get somebody to co-sign this. All of that began to feel like wasted energy, and I became more curious about what was really going on here, about getting below the surface. And I have now, like many times, well, I find many more examples now in my own life where I find a resentment. I had one that comes to mind last week, where in my little house, I live alone in this little house, and Stephen lives up on Whidbey Island right now, and he comes down once a week for a meeting, a 12-step meeting that we go to on Wednesday nights, and he stays with me. And he spends the day here on Wednesday, and I'm at work. And he has a friend over. And this friend needed a place to hang out for the day when Stephen wasn't going to be here. And Stephen said, well, you can stay at Nancy's house. I think his house was being fumigated or something, and he needed to be out of the house. And I got so upset with Stephen. I was like, inside, I was like, oh, how dare you? In my house, you know, you're not going to be here, and I'm not going to be here, and what are you doing? And I said something to him about it, and he got upset with me, and I felt very justified, and, you know, this is my house, and this and that. And the next morning, when I was leaving my house, and something, a practice that I've done for years, is that when I leave the house, whatever house I'm living in, I look back from the front door before I leave, and I thank the house for the shelter and the warmth, and I bless it, and I thank it. And as I did that, I was just overwhelmed with this sense of, like, this is your house? Whose house is this? And isn't this what you pray every day, for this house to be full of welcome? You know, what are you doing? And all of the grievance just disappeared. It was like these sentences here with, you know, that the law of the heart is love. And the thoughts just went away. I called Stephen, and I talked to his friend. I said, you are most welcome to stay. You know, I set the house up so he could, you know, make the coffee. That I set my TV up for him, because it's a little tricky with between the TV and the computer, and I set it up the way that I felt would be most welcoming. And And I said, you know, I could finally see that it was not worth losing any peace over. You know, that it was just not worth losing any peace. But it was that still small voice as I paused at the door to look back at the house and to say, what? You know, this is like not mine. And I am more than happy, you know, to share this. This is what I pray for. So that is my story. And there's many more lately, but I'll leave that one stand for now. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Nancy. And yeah, the paragraph you just read, what, you know, one thing that really jumped at me was the word want. Let's see. One who loves his brother will not think a hurtful thought about his brother. When hurtful thoughts come into his mind, he will let them go, for he does not want any thought in his mind that is not the thought of love. That's the key, is getting to that point. And, you know, for me, that seemed to take time. And, you know, probably for most of you, if not all of you, that either did seem to take time or it is seeming to take time. But that's what we're getting to. We're getting to the point where we just don't want that anymore. And I can give you a tip, if you'd like a tip. Whenever a grievance is spinning in your mind, just pause and look at how you feel. You know, and ask yourself, is this how I want to feel? My favorite song is Sunshine on My Shoulders by John Denver. And that's because ever since I was a little girl, I've loved just being outside in the grass with the sun shining on me. It's a symbol of peace, right? Just outside laying on the grass, the sun shining on me, and oh, that's how I like to feel. I don't like to feel the way I feel when a grievance is spinning in my head. And so what I've learned is that even though I'm not always in the sunshine, right now I'm in a dark basement office, you know, I'm not in the sunshine, but I've learned that feeling of laying in the grass with the sunshine on me, I can have it all the time, because the truth is that's our natural state. And I've just learned that that's what I want. It's kind of like A Course in Miracles, where it says to say you want the peace of God is nothing. To mean it is everything. So pay attention to how you feel and start asking yourself, is this how I want to feel? That's the only question that matters about the grievance. Not, did she say that about me or did he do that to me? Don't ask those questions, because those will trick you. The answer is yes, she said it, or yes, he did it. You know, of course, right? So don't ask those questions. Those questions aren't helpful. Ask, is this how I want to feel? Start looking at that, because that's what NTI is telling us. We're keeping ourselves in prison. And when we want to be free, when we want only peace, when we want only love, we won't cling to those things anymore. One thing that's in the teachings of Inner Ramana that I absolutely love is a line that says, A thought is not alive. A thought can't cling to you. It has no life to it. You're clinging to the thought. That's important. That's an important point, right? It has no life. A thought is not a little person with hands. It can't cling to you. You're clinging to it. And so you have to start noticing that it doesn't make you feel good. And the way the ego tricks you is by having you look away from yourself. You're looking out at the story, what he did to me. And you know what? He did do that. You know, in the story, that's what happened. Or that is what she said about you. I mean, you know, so if you look out, you're going to stay stuck. You have to turn around and look in. How does this make me feel? Is this how I want to feel, right? And Jim says, I find it helpful in uncomfortable situations to ask, how would love respond to this? All right, we only have about 5 minutes left. How about if I read 29 to 30? I haven't done any reading yet, I don't think, since we started the group, so why don't I do that since we're almost out of time? Letting go of your grievances towards your brother may seem to be letting go of yourself, for your own thoughts may tell you that you are justified in your anger or your caution for what your brother has done or may do to you. But I tell you that thoughts of justification are like poisonous prison food. Their purpose is to keep you sick and weak within the prison walls. Rise up within the health of your heart and let these thoughts go. Your goal now is freedom, and you will succeed in your goal by letting go of every thought. For the hellish thoughts within your mind are your prison, and only by letting them go can you be free. So we talked tonight about justification. Igor talked, about his mind telling him how justified he was in holding a grievance against Lynn, and Nancy had that justification temporarily, but it's my house. I had justification temporarily for 6 months or so that I'm just here to serve, and they don't understand me, and they're, not appreciating me, right? But I love how this, let me highlight the word love. I love how this points out to us that these thoughts of justification are like poisonous prison food. Their purpose is to keep us sick and weak within the prison walls. So that's how we need to look at justification. When my mind is telling me, or when your mind is telling you that this grievance, he should never, ever, ever have done that to me, right? That is really crossing the line. When the mind is saying that, what you need to say to the mind is, that's just poisonous prison food. I want to be free, right? This is how we have to respond to our mind. And remember, I am speaking to you as one who has done this. And this is how I did it. I always tell people I did it with self-talk. I would look right at those thoughts and say, this is poisonous prison food. I would look right at how I felt while holding a grievance and ask, do I want to feel this way? Right? Your attention must be turned towards you. Although we talk about, quote, forgiving your brother, this has nothing to do with forgiving anyone outside of you. This is really about being smart, being wise. That's what this is. It's about knowing what you really want, being fully focused on what you really want, and then being in harmony with what you really want, and doing what needs to be done to get what you want, which in this case is peace, and not doing those things that are an obstacle to what you want, not sabotaging yourself. And the truth is, when you practice forgiveness, when you let go of these thoughts, when you see that the ego is unimportant and not worth holding on to, you're only doing what you want to do most. Because none of you would be here. None of you would be here unless you felt the call to peace. And that's it. We're out of time. So I want to thank you very, very much for discussing this topic with me tonight. And next week we will start at the top of page 15 with these beautiful words. I always loved it when Spirit started a sentence this way: listen to me. So we'll look at that next Thursday night. And by the way, next Thursday night, I will be here, and Jacqueline is going to be driving to Colorado Springs to pick up Jay. So, Jay, I know you won't be here because you're going to be physically coming here next week. All right, good night, everyone.